Ever since the late 60s, there's been a debate at Stanford University about the required reading for Western culture courses for freshman students. Language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg, who works at an institute associated with Stanford, has these thoughts on the recent resolution of that issue.
Last week, the Stanford University Faculty Senate voted to accept a compromise proposal to change the university's Western culture course requirements after a long and sometimes rancorous debate. The new program will still emphasize a study of Western classics, but it will contain no single list of great works that every student will be expected to read, and it will be augmented by material about non-Western cultures and by more works by women and minorities. The Stanford brouhaha got a lot of attention in the national press because the decline of Western culture is a hot story this season, fueled by numerous reports about the cultural ignorance of American high school and college students. For a while this year, in fact, there were two books on the subject perched improbably at the top of the New York Times bestseller list. One of these was Alan Bloom's The Closing of the American Mind, an alternately cranky and brilliant defense of the classics as the only books that are worthy of the attention of serious people. Nowadays, though, most academics are uncomfortable defending the teaching of Western culture on the grounds of its inherent superiority to other works and traditions. Instead, they've tended to lean on the sorts of arguments offered in E.D. Hirsch's book Cultural Literacy, this year's other Decline of the West bestseller. In a nutshell, Hirsch's argument goes like this. Look, there are a lot of cultural traditions out there, and I'd be the last one to say that traditional Western culture has any monopoly on truth or beauty. But as it happens, Western culture is the basis for the common language that we Americans have always used in our public discussions. And if you want to participate in that discourse, you have to be able to understand the cultural references that people make the same way you have to know the verb forms of standard English. Hirsch even appends a checklist of several thousand names and expressions that he claims all literate Americans know, from Aeschylus, Boswell, and Willa Cather, all the way down to X chromosomes, Yalta, and Zeus. But this argument is specious and a little hypocritical, and the students know it. As a practical matter, the vocabulary of Western culture is not part of the common language of educated Americans and hasn't been for decades. More than 30 years ago, the poet Randall Jarrell could write that there is no book that all of my students have read. In 1988, there is not even any book that all educated Americans need to pretend to have read. I once spent an evening playing the French version of Trivial Pursuit with a couple of French friends. France is still a country that takes its culture seriously, and where the word cultivated still has positive associations. An ordinary French businessman is genuinely embarrassed if he has to admit that he doesn't know Madame Bovary's first name, just as an American businessman would be embarrassed if it came out that he didn't know what team Willie Mays played for. On the whole, though, I think we have the better half of the bargain. The French accumulate culture as a kind of social capital, with a fear of humiliation always lurking in the background. Whereas our students can't be coerced into taking Western culture seriously, or bribed with promises of social advancement. The classics have to be able to compete with other traditions on the basis of their own merits, which is what the new Stanford program allows them to do.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.